The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Our Teisho this morning will be offered by our dear Tanto, Dharma holder, Reverend Paul Galvin.
Case 30 in the Book of Serenity. A monk asked Daswe, when the fire at the end of the kalpa rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not? Daswe said, destroyed. The monk said, then it goes along with that? Daswe said, it goes along with that. A monk asked Longji, when the fire ending the kalpa rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not? Longji said, not destroyed. The monk said, why is it not destroyed? Longji said, because it is the same as the universe. We've been looking into this case and some cases the verse over this past week. Melissa mentioned and others have mentioned, this is in two of our collections. It's in the Blue Cliff Record and the Book of Serenity. And I'm drawn to this one, the one from the Book of Serenity. Melissa Roshi had used it in her talk on Monday. And as it came up, there was just something that drew me to it. And over the years, I've learned to trust that. I couldn't put it into words, and there's something that was drawing me to it. I think, some of what maybe, I just said I can't put it in words, and yet here I go. Some of what draws me to it is that I definitely hear the sincerity and persistent in this monk's voice. I think I like the two meetings of the teachers because it gets me to ask, what is destroyed? What is not destroyed? Are they different? I think about us coming here together at this point, thinking about Friday night as we were sitting here and the teachers were offering us really encouragement, deep encouragement, setting up this container. This container that Todd later pointed out that really allowed us to look into this particular koan, and more to the point, to look into this fire that is already here. When Alan and Michael gave the guidelines, whether we were completely aware of it or not, we were taking these vows of being the monk for this week. And I would say it's not a part-time job. You have done it full-time, completely. And so this koan, this monk, we are the monk, of course. Alan Sensei had encouraged us to look at Koans in this intimate way, to place ourselves in the monks' shoes, in their robes. And so the question that the monk is asking is your question. What draws me here? How to live in this world? At one point in Melissa's talk, she said, maybe it's the same monk. I like that. When she said it, I just snagged it out of the air. It's the same monk. How could that be? The same monk going to two different teachers, asking the same question. I've done that. Maybe you have as well. Michael mentioned the jewels of the sesshin with multiple teachers. You have been a monk. You are a monk. And you have been a full-time monk on pilgrimage. Several years ago, I remember Melissa saying that this is one of the benefits of the different teachers, that we can go from teacher to teacher, and it's not about seeking as far as some different answer. Please don't be tempted, as maybe my mind was at one point, well, which of these teachers is right? Dasui, Longji, what if they're both right? What if they're both right? Because each of them has met this monk, has allowed this monk to show up completely. That just as we shift and change and look into this, look into this great matter, that this question, while literally on the surface, looks the same. And yet these answers was actually right to the point, right what the monk needed at that time. We have here in Boundless Way, and we will be saying it probably quite a bit here in the near future, that Doksan is between you and the teacher. While the teachers share confidentiality of our meetings, that it really is for you and the teacher. And in the reentry suggestions, which we'll hear tomorrow from Dave, he will stress this. And in times where I've offered the reentry suggestions, I've sometimes mused that don't even share as far as Doksan with your current self. That those words shared in that moment was just what was required. I had this this image of this monk walking out of both meetings, walking back to her cushion and just sitting with the moment, sitting with that exchange. Maybe sometimes returning to the cushion happy, feeling maybe a little bit lighter in the step. Maybe sometimes coming back to the cushion distraught, very heavy as we find our way back into our chair or cushion. So generous of these teachers, and this encouragement to be intimate with the koan isn't just to be with the monk. It is to be with all parts of the koan. Can you see a time that you have met someone so completely and shared with them what at the point was needed for them to hear? I think that's what the teachers are doing in this koan. Quite frankly, I think that's what our teachers have been doing throughout the whole sesshin. The words shared, the exchanges that we've had in Doksan are just for us. On Saturday afternoon, my first encouraging words, I told all of you that when you arrived at sesshin, you brought your whole world with you. And it's sitting in the chair and the cushion right now. This is still true. This world contains everything, including the fire that each of us has been smoldering, blazing with throughout sesshin. You may not see this. I do. We are this monk. We are the teacher. And we have everything already. Even before we came to sesshin, it was already here. Michael told us yesterday what's required for combustion. I do think that sesshin is like bellows for the fire. Really adding extra doses of oxygen to this flame. I keep returning to sesshin year after year. If you press me and you ask me, why do I go to sesshin? Usually the best I can say is because I need to go to sesshin. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir right now because you're all sitting here after 7 days. There is something that calls us here. And if you're here to go ahead and to find the answer to your life coming out of my mouth or any of our teacher's mouth, including our encouragement talks, please let me take that idea away from you, which I can't, but let me at least encourage it. That you really do have everything already. We just need that time. When Dogen encourages us in Menju and face-to-face transmission. We need that time. When? Now. This is when we are the Buddha. Take all the now you need to realize that. A monk asks Dasui, "When the fire at the end of the kalpa rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not?" Dasui said, "Destroyed." The monk said, "Then it goes along with that?" Dasui said, "It goes along like with that." Later, the same monk asked Longji, "When the fire ending the kalpa rages through and the whole universe is destroyed, is this destroyed or not?" Longji said, "Not destroyed." The monk said, "Why is it not destroyed?" Longji said, "Because it is the same as the universe." Thank you. So please sit comfortably and make sure that we can see faces. This opportunity to enter into Dharma dialogue, and we'll rely on my fellow teachers up here to help me to respond. Please come forward. Yeah, Dave.
Thanks for the talk. I was taken at the beginning when you said that maybe the answers aren't so different. And for me, what's similar about the answers is the awe that they inspire. Yes, everything falls apart, everything goes away, everything. There's no ground to stand on, the enormity of that. And then, no, it doesn't go away, it's here. Something's going on. Also, the enormity of that. Yeah. So ungraspable, unbelievable.
Yeah, I think if I could elaborate on my reasons for coming for to Sesshin, I think there it is right there. You know, this awe, this reminder. I think this unspeakable, this just unutterable awe that comes up when we see this. For me, I have to be reminded again and again and again. And this is one of the things that the bellows of Sesshin seems to offer.
Yeah. And sometimes in some of the commentary about this, it talks about the double barrier. I think so often we're looking for an answer and go, okay, it is destroyed. Well, now I know. And I think, Dave, what I hear you pointing to is this is not about some fixed position. What we're, Paul, I loved it when you encouraged us to take as much now as we needed. We often think of this moment as a thing, right? And both these answers take that away from us, in a sense, and take that away so that we can actually begin to sense it's not a thing we're dealing with here, right? Not something that we can comprehend so much more fun and interesting than anything we could name. Yeah, so where are you with this, all of this destroyed, not destroyed? What's alive here, as we sit?
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, when you were saying maybe it's the same monk taking it to a different teacher, and I was thinking of, like, you know, go ask Dad, and I don't like the answer.
Yeah, I think it's easy. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know. It doesn't feel like that. No. It feels more like, how could it be?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah, right.
And I wish I remembered, but I don't. But in doing research on this koan, in the record of Dao Wei, he goes to two other teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the fourth teacher tells him to go back to Dao Wei, but Dao Wei has died. So then he goes back to Longchi, and Longchi has died. And, you know, there's something that's very sweet and right in line with what you're saying and what Paul was talking about here. We go round and round and round in our minds. There are all these different parts of the self that are reflected back from the teachers. And one of the things I love about the way we work together is that sometimes it takes a while as a student to catch on to the fact that the teachers meet after Doksan and check in with each other, and then we'll do that thing of going to people and asking the same question. And it's like, it's so transparent to me as a teacher when that happens. But what I want is for it to be transparent to the student in the way that we're illuminating it. You know, he just keeps going, and we need to keep going. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want. And even to the same teacher, I think you were pointing that out, people will come back and say the same stuff to me. But I'm not the same person that I was the last time we had the conversation. And so to enter the moment and find our way in together, to me, that's the intimacy of Zen and the intimacy of Doksan and the intimacy of being a human being who's filled with a universe of forces and characters and thoughts and emotions and sensations.
Yeah, the same question is not the same question, and the same
exactly.
answer is not the same.
Right. Exactly.
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 It may be the same monk, but it's not the same person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Before we leave this, I just wanted to add, Jenny, that you know, you made me. I was thinking about how Mom's answer is rarely more satisfying than Dad's was. And you know, is the second monk really any happier with that answer as the first monk was with his or her answer, you know, because it's the same as the universe. Oh, what? and it brought me back to Dave's sense of awe, you know, in both these cases, and the joke about Zen practice is, if it is a joke, that it's like jumping out of an airplane, and the bad news is there's no parachute, and the good news is there's no ground. So this groundless ground that we find ourselves in both halves of the koan, and that we find ourselves in right here when we sit together.
I just have to come in and defend Moms. Not everybody has the same primal family constellation, so sometimes it's the other way around, right? But the reality is exactly what Alan was saying. We keep going until we get satisfied, but there's no dissatisfaction because there's no ground.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Matt?
I'm especially with what Melissa said, this additional story of the extra people. I think that what I'm left with is this monk is left with his wanting to know.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know. And, you know, he gets one answer. He still wants to know. He gets another answer. He's sent for Now he two more times. He still wants to know. Mm. And then the person with the answer is dead. And then the next person with the answer is dead. Yeah. And he's left with this wanting to know.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that.
Yeah. There it is. There's the moment.
Well, there's that longing that Paul was talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the motivators and drives to Zen practice.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to know, it would just be like, yeah, whatever, bumper sticker Zen.
And that is the burning,
yeah.
You know, as you presented. And we think, and I think a couple of people have said this, we think there's something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like feeling this way. You know, and I want something else. And one of the themes we've talked about here is staying, right? And the Tego Bowu reading at the end of the road, it's like an iron wall, right? And we think, well, this must be the wrong place. Let me go to a teacher and they'll tell me how to get out of here, right? And the teacher says, no, right here. So to trust whatever is arising, right? And this longing, the feeling separate, feeling sad, feeling angry, feeling confused, is the thing itself. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, thank you for your talk, Paul. I've gone to teachers with many questions and have not been found them very helpful.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. Doing our job.
Because the important part of the poem for me is finding the teacher within. That's where the answer is. It's within. It's not someone else has done the work for you and is giving you an answer that will satisfy you. That doesn't often happen. The answer comes from within, and that's where, for me, the important part of the teacher is you also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the answer is to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And what the teachers do is reflect back, at least to me, reflect back where the answer lies and where I need to go to find it. And, you know, that's not something that oftentimes I want someone else to have done the work and to give me the answer so I don't have to do it. But it's the other way around. There's no substitute for finding.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to encourage us to think that we've already brought it, that it's already here. And I do think that there is importance. I love, the koans in general, but we can focus on this one. But it is relational. I mean, there is this interaction. And, Tego Bowu encourages us to, to seek teachers and show them how your mind works. And we're not just sitting at home, having this. I think it really does require, as far as bumping into each other, maybe sometimes quite literally in the Zendo, and definitely showing up completely as far as with others who can really be that supportive reflection and guide. That's why I think both of these teachers are actually saying exactly what that monk needs to hear at that particular point, even though they may appear to be different.
And I think it is one of the hallmarks of Zen, this relational quality.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like, oh, we're all sitting here and we're all by ourselves, but these meetings where we investigate the moment together, not meeting as let me tell you, as if I could tell you, but our job One is to frustrate you and mm-hmm. upset you, and to acknowledge what you already know, mm-hmm. to keep pointing. And from my side, for me, a Buddha after Buddha walks into the room. I learn, we learn from each one of you, already a Buddha. But we need each other.
Yeah.
We need each other to remind us, because I know Melissa says this so often, it's wonderful. It's just impossible to believe that we already have it. Like, you know, because I know that's not true. I know what it's like on the inside here. And this, and so we need each other. We need to hear these stories. Mm-hmm. And it is face to face. It is coming and vibrating and reflecting together. Nobody has your jewel, because you're already the jewel. Who could have that?
And I appreciate how you brought this forth, Ray, but there's something about it for me that you were saying about it's sort of the answer's hidden away in your heart. It's really wide out in the open. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you and the teacher discover it together.
And there's a thing too called skillful means, upaya, that towards the beginning of Zen practice with teachers, we're scoping out what's possible for you to hear right now. We don't really know, but we're scoping it out. And so sometimes we answer questions and we encourage and we're very positive. And then there's a certain point where, and people who come to say, "She know this, because come on, all these days, it's enough already, cut it out." There's a recognition of something deep inside each person, the student and the teacher, that already knows all this stuff. That the people are covering that, the jewel is covered. There's so many stories in Buddhism and Zen about, you know, the jewel hidden in the sewn into the robe, or I don't know you have it, you know, you're like wandering, like a child of a wealthy home wandering among the poor, like someone standing in the midst of water crying out in thirst. So there's a certain point where we have gotten to a place where we recognize, oh, these questions, they're all a cover for something. Right? Just like Jenny was really pointing out, and really Matt too. And Rumi's coming up a lot for me, this teaching, for some reason. But he says, what is the true connection between people when the same understanding opens a door between them? They are called to be companions. And so there is this drop, I think of it as physically a dropping down. All those layers of pretense of the self drop away, and there's just two Buddhas sitting facing each other. And that's such an unusual thing to encounter in the world. But and I think that's why people keep coming back, because we encounter it right at the beginning. You know, the first time I heard my first teacher talk was like, oh, he knows it. And then my transmitting teacher, James Ford, I just burst into tears as soon as I heard him give a Dharma talk. There's something that we don't know up here in our cognition, we do know in our bodies and in our hearts. Yeah. And there's all these other pointers in Zen tradition that I won't go into right now that keep saying the same thing over and over. Aha. You, me, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Ray. Yeah, Doug?
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Paul.
Sure.
The line that really resonates for me is like, we don't know if we have a morning or an evening.
Yeah.
And that just feels like because I'm older, I really feel that. Like, who knows? Who knows if there's another day? That's the fire for me. And the other thing I want to say, there's something very beautiful about all five of you up there. You know, just like, you know, like I love having seen everybody. And there's something just, I don't know, I feel this gratefulness and, you know, gratitude to, that we have these, have you.
And this is Paul's first Taisho at a Sesshin.
It is.
He's given them at online Sesshin, and he's given, you know, encouragement talks, and you heard him all through the Sesshin.
Yeah.
But this is the first formal Taisho wearing his robes as a transmitted teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's very special.
Yeah, Tom.
This phenomenon of five different people. When I first got involved with Boundless Way, I went, oh boy.
Good.
I like to think of myself as being learning disabled. I mean, I'm pretty convinced I am, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll get to ask enough, and then I'll, you know, then oh, I'll eventually get it.
Yeah.
And in some, on some level, it's true.
Yep.
You really get very practical things, and somebody else has a different turn, and it's, you're really getting those answers that you want, and it is true. But more often than not,
the butt, bring the butt.
When I go in and ask the basically the same questions, and just get thrown way back on myself, you know. Good luck, you know. But there's something amazing about just being able to talk to another human being about this, and they know exactly what you're talking about. That is, even if I don't get the answers, I like, there's something just nourishing about it. And that's some, you know, so I'm not going to stop asking, you know.
Good.
Or whatever, but I just mean, that's a factor of it that is very just having another human being who you have some trust in, really, but also to work to talk about it with.
Well, I appreciate, you know, especially there at the end, you know, another human being that that's trusted, and I think this is it, is that we actually trust you. Even if you doubt, and there's a lot of benefit to having that doubt, and we really do trust you. Quite some time ago, I remember Melissa describing the role as a teacher, is that we're all in the dark. We're all in the dark. We are. And the teacher is also in the dark. But yet, the teacher has been on that path before.
Yeah. I'd say the teacher is familiar with where the light switches are.
Oh, maybe that's it. You're changing the story.
I'm changing that story.
Yeah.
But you know, I agree with what Paul's saying. I don't exactly trust everybody, but I trust the Buddha nature manifesting everybody.
Fair.
I've never encountered a person, and he might say, "But what about so and so? What about Sorry, they still have that little glint that I recognize. I see it. That's one of my disabilities, is seeing it in everybody. I trust that implicitly. And I wait, and I have to develop patience, and I'm not always patient. So I've also learned to poke a little bit, like fan the embers, and even find the ember for people. It's a great story about, you know, the fire went out, and the student can't find anything. The teacher says, go, and can't find it, and the teacher goes forward and finds the little ember and blows the fire up. That's our job. And so we get to enjoy that discovery of the ember together.
In one version of the Buddha's story, you know, the Buddha says the most important part of the path is friendship. Mm-hmm. And you were speaking really eloquently about that kind of friendship, which is not about telling you what you want to hear and not about, you know, giving you the answer, but as you say, understanding what you're saying. And I mean, that's taking refuge in Sangha, you know, when you have that face-to-face encounter and you both have given your hearts to these questions, and so they resonate, and you get some reflection back of your own zeal for this, and of your own wisdom, even though you might leave the room not knowing that you got a reflection of your own wisdom, but sometime later, it hits. It's mm-hmm. it's hard to, you know, you can't describe it logically, you can't quantify it, but you can experience it, and then you never forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to just really quick to say that when I kind of lost it, but more than off, or more than not, it's a good luck. More accurately, I want to say that even when it's good luck, there's often a sense of good luck, my good friend. You know, it's a warmth, too. So I just wanted to say that. You know, thank you.
And I just want to say this just feels so important to me. I get so much out of people who show up with whatever it is, you know, that I feel like I have a companion, right? That I'm not alone in the dark. You know, in heaven above and earth below, I'm the only one, the Buddha said. We are the only one. There's just this one thing, and here it is, a person who will share it with me. Wow, what a privilege. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Esther, did you have a hand
up? One more. Yes, please.
I'm reminded of, related to this, years ago, stomping around in Belgium, kicking the dirt, because I was working with a koan, and I just wanted to talk about my emotions and my thoughts. And I remember something about, you know, this realizing that hadn't really brought me any freedom or other way of being with other people, just talking about that, but that the meeting in this territory of destroyed, not destroyed, of not knowing, of being there with questions with no answers, rather dropping the questions, that was offered a different kind of, I want to say, relationality or intimacy than the, you know, coming with, this is going on, la la la.
Yeah, it's a very particular kind of encounter that happens in the Doksan room, and part of the energy of it is that there is a clarity of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're doing, but there's something, and this pointing directly, and these teachings, as I say over and over again, they aren't about the teachings. This is not about studying Buddhism and knowing what the four of these and the three this is. But there is this reflection back, and it's not about this level of thinking about it. You know, this we say a heart-to-heart transmission. And that this reflection that, you know, it so goes both ways, you know, so important that you know whatever you see when you come in, you might say, oh, boy, that person is just, you know, so this or so that. You see yourself. You walk into the Doksan room, the one you encounter is your own heart. And so... I say when I send you out, well, good luck to both of us.
And again, just to bring back Upaya, we are learning how to be in this very specific, intimate encounter. So it takes a while. Some people it takes forever. There's still people who have been with us for decades who have to come in and, you know, talk about the layers that surround the thing that is so obvious and burning brightly in them. That's not a mistake or a bad thing. But any kind of learning has to, you know, and some teachers, you know, I never had Doksan with him, but there's a teacher who, as soon as somebody would start, this is actually a tradition, somebody start to go off away from the point, would just ring his bell. You never got a word in. That's more traditional. But I think we have tell me about your emotions, and oh, you were kicking the dirt. Oh, tell me about that. Yeah, I want. And then eventually, I think that wears away because you said so eloquently. It just doesn't get me anywhere. There's something else going on. Yeah. So it's like you don't have to worry, oh God, I think I've been doing Doksan wrong. Let me figure out how to come in now. Nah. It's a mutual learning, and every student I've ever met with, it's different. It's a different journey.
And the blessing of the teachers showing up and wanting to be with, you know, us as we come in the uncertainty, in the destroyed, in the not destroyed. There's something about that willingness to show up and be with each other.
Yeah, I feel like we've come full circle because I'm back to this sense of awe.
Yeah.
that all of you are willing to show up. That's just awe. That the willingness to walk into that room and to be fully exposed, that's all.